This month, all of our sermons are on the theme, Go and Be the Church. Each week, we are considering a specific part of the church's vision statement. Let me remind you that the statement is, a community that loves Jesus, where everyone is welcomed, faith grows, and hearts are generous. Today, we are thinking specifically about faith growing, which is very apt, considering we're also thinking about harvest today. In order for faith to grow, we need to be disciples of our Lord, and we are called to disciple others. So this morning, my sermon's titled, Go and Sow with Generous Hearts. And I want us to consider the overflow in our lives from having a generous heart. So let me begin with a question. Harvest. When you think about harvest, what is it that comes to mind?
Food.
Food. Okay. Anything else?
Sowing.
Fields. Yep. For some, when they think about harvest, perhaps they think about the golden fields with corn growing in them. For others, you might think about a table full of food, or a basket full of fruit, or maybe vegetables, though some people don't like to think about vegetables. But whatever you think about, harvest is meant to be a time of joy, a time to celebrate the abundance of what God has given. In America, they have a celebration called Thanksgiving. I think that's more about escaping being part of the UK than it is about being thankful for the food that they've been provided with. And it also seems to involve a humongous amounts of turkeys and pumpkins. Thankfully, in the UK, we aren't quite as turkey mad as the Americans. And pumpkins, I'm told pumpkin is quite a nice thing to eat, but sadly, being so close to Halloween, even a pumpkin can be distorted into something evil. But harvest is a time to thank God for good things, to thank him for the joy that he brings into our lives. And maybe if you're a vegan or a vegetarian this morning, you know, you have great joy in your heart when you have a fresh organic carrot on the table in front of you. For others, carrots, but broccoli, Brussels sprouts. There's some things that just don't necessarily fill us with joy. In scripture, harvest is not just about crops. Harvest is also about souls. It's about lives being transformed by the grace of God. It's about people knowing that God is real and that they can be in a relationship with him. And here's the truth. God calls his people to live with generous hearts so that the harvest can be plentiful. Key passage I want to take us to today is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. It says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I think we often focus on the part where it says God will provide all you need, and the bit about having plenty and sharing with others, maybe we don't think about that as often as we should. And this isn't just talking about money, it's about sharing our lives, sharing our time, sharing our resources for the benefit of others and not just for ourselves. You know, generosity, it's a reflection of the heart of God. Harvest is an outworking of the grace of God. and our willingness to give, to serve him, shows that his grace is actually working in our lives. It shows that we're thankful. It shows that we care more about others than just ourselves. The love of God, the grace of God, the outworking of grace, those are things that we meet when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it's at the cross of Christ where God's mercy and grace was fully revealed. He provided the way of salvation. He provided the way for us to be saved. Not because we deserved it, but because of his love for us. First thing I want us to think about this morning is that generosity reflects the heart of God. The Apostle Paul, in that verse that I read, he begins with an agricultural metaphor. He talks about sowing and reaping. The Greek word for generosity, it carries the sense of blessing, abundance, overflow. It is something that is full and complete. And friends, when we sow with generous hearts, we reflect God's nature. Think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The model we follow is the model that God has set for us. God gave. The very essence of his love is expressed to us in generosity. He loved us so much that he was willing to give his own son for us. God gave his best. He gave Jesus. And he was willing to be sacrificed for us so that we could be set free from our sin. I've quoted him before, Max Lucado. He's once said, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Like Jesus in character, like Jesus with a servant heart, like Jesus willing to intercede, to pray, to ask God to move in other people's lives. He calls us to be like Jesus, but we will never suffer in the way that Jesus did. Yet we're to be a model, we're to be an example. We are to be Jesus' disciple. And when you think about it, what is Jesus like? Well, he's generous, he's self-giving, he's sacrificial. And all of those things are things that we can be. Think about a glass, an empty glass. If you place an empty glass under a tap, it begins to fill with water. And if you don't switch the tap off, the water will just overflow from that glass. And friends, that's a picture of God's grace in our lives. He pours his love into us until it overflows. Generosity is not meant to be something that's forced. Generosity is not meant to be something that we do grudgingly. Generosity must be the overflow, the outworking of God's goodness in our lives. And it comes from our time, it comes from our talents, it comes from our treasures. We are called to mirror the generosity of God by pouring out to others. You know, it's easy. It is easy for a Christian to say the right things, far harder for us to do the right things. And the 21st century teaches us to be selfish, really. To look at what we've got in the cupboards and think, oh, I might need that. Someone was once asked, have you got any spare change? And their answer was, my life's not over yet. How do I know it's spare? And that's the attitude that a lot of people have. What's mine is mine and it will stay mine. Yet God calls us to say, what I have is his. Use it how you want, Lord. It's spun on its head, isn't it? It's different. If we want to be a witness in a selfish world, we've got to live unselfish lives. If we want to reach the lost, we need to be generous with our time. We need to be generous with spending, wrestling with God in prayer. We need to be like Christ. Let's think about the principle of sowing and reaping. The Apostle Paul, he reminds us that a farmer who sows sparingly, who only puts down little seed, will only reap sparingly. And this principle, it appears throughout Scripture. If you think about Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9, it says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." If the farmer sowed the seed and the seed didn't grow, he'd plant more seed. Maybe that's a principle that we need to adopt. If we witness to someone and they're unresponsive, maybe there's someone else that God wants us to speak to. Maybe there's another place that he wants us to go. Maybe we need to get used to going that extra mile to ensure that we don't give up. Yes, we trust God. Yes, we know that God has a plan. But God calls us to be part of his plan. But sowing is only part of the process of harvest, isn't it? There also needs to be a reaping. There needs to be a gathering in. There needs to be a completion. And the Apostle Paul is telling us really that what we sow in this life echoes into eternity. Maybe this week, maybe last week, maybe last year, maybe 10 or 20 years ago, you sowed a seed in someone's life. You spoke to them about Jesus. You explained that they could be saved, that they could know Jesus themselves. And maybe that seed instantly grew. Or maybe that seed has laid dormant. And now, even in this day, that seed is starting to develop and it will bloom. But God calls us to be faithful. When we sow in obedience, even if it costs us, God can bring a harvest far greater than we could ever imagine. In China, I'm told that a bamboo tree takes 5 years from the time the seed is planted to when it first breaks through the ground. Can you imagine the farmer there for 5 years, watering and waiting and seeing absolutely nothing? And then suddenly, in one season, bamboo shoots up to nearly 80 feet tall. It's incredible, isn't it? The way that God has designed nature is incredible. But for the farmer, perhaps there's years of sowing. Maybe there's years of praying. Maybe there's times when the farmer doubts that the bamboo will ever rise out of the ground. But at the right time, there's growth. At the right time, there is life. And then comes the harvest. Friends, let me encourage you this morning. Keep sowing into your family. Keep sowing into the lives of your friends. If you work, sow into your workplace. Always find the time to pray for those that you know, for those that you love. And don't give up. The time is coming when harvest will be here. We just have to trust God. We have to trust him. But the harvest we're talking about here is not a harvest of seed, it's a harvest of souls. Jesus, he was the one who redefined the principle of harvest for his disciples. In John chapter 4, verse 35, he said, "You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest." The Greek word that's used here, it points not to crops, but to people. Jesus was speaking about the Samaritan woman. He was talking about the town that was ready to receive him. The true harvest is souls entering the kingdom of God. That's what we need to be praying for. That's what we need to be trusting God for. That people who are currently walking or driving past this building will feel a conviction to know Jesus for themselves. That they will recognize that there's a God-shaped hole in their life that only the true living God can fill. R.T. Kendall, he said this, "The greatest honor in the world is to be used by God to bring another soul to Christ." The greatest honor. I know, you're sitting there thinking, "Oh, but I'm not an evangelist. Oh, I don't know my Bible well enough." Friends, it's not about who we are or what we know. It's about providing the opportunity for God to speak, for God to move, for the Holy Spirit to bring change and transformation. I can't save anyone. God can. But God does call me, as he calls you, to tell people about him, to sow that seed. In the church context, how can harvest be measured? We don't measure it in tonnage. We don't measure it in bushels. Maybe we need to measure it in baptisms. We don't measure harvest in grain, but perhaps we can measure it in grace. Every act of generosity, every seed of kindness, every gospel word that's sown is all part of God's harvest of souls. And the gospel, well, that's the generosity of the cross. The greatest act of generosity ever was at Calvary, when Jesus gave his life for us. Romans 5:8, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." On the cross, Jesus sowed his life, so that the harvest of salvation could come. He was reaped for us. He was buried. He was like a seed. He rose again on the third day. The resurrection, it's the first fruits of the great harvest that is still to come. Generosity, harvest, they flow out from the gospel. The gospel really is the center of everything for us. Let me give you a call to action this morning. Go and sow with generous hearts. That's what God expects us to do. We are to be generous because God has been generous to each and every one of us. We are to sow faithfully, even when we don't see immediate results. We need to remember that the harvest is all about souls. The harvest is all about kingdom growth. And generosity, it's not just an action, it's an attitude. We should live lives that are generous. We should live lives that are giving our time, talents, tithes, so that God's kingdom can be built. And maybe part of the harvest is also living with open hands before God, living with an open heart before God, placing the needs of others ahead of our own needs. There's a difference between an open hand and a clenched fist. Sometimes we can cling on to things. We can grasp things so tightly. Our life, our plans. And we can even grasp onto our own sin. instead of actually giving everything to the Lord, instead of asking the Lord to search us, examine us, and change us, we think, well, I'll give that part to the Lord, but I'm going to hold on to this bit. This bit I'm going to keep a tight grip on. But God says that we surrender everything to him. Jesus calls us to have open hands. He calls us to have an open heart. He calls us to examine ourselves. He calls us to repent. Acts 2:38, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We repented when we came to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, but I would suggest there also needs to be a daily repentance in our life. That we need to continue to trust Christ. We need to continue to place God first. We need to continue to recognize that there could be things, that there are things in our lives that bring no honor or glory to God. As we continually embrace the gift of salvation that he has given to us, we need to ensure that our hearts are right with God. We need to ensure that we're growing. We need to keep focused on him, the author, the finisher of our faith. We need to check ourselves daily. Now, the farmer that sown seed doesn't keep digging the seed up to see if it's growing. But eventually there is evidence of growth. And in our own lives, there should be evidence of growth. That as we give ourselves to him, as we grow deeper roots in our faith, as we trust and learn to trust more and more each day, God will enable us to grow. We'll grow in our understanding of him. We'll grow in our knowledge of him. We will grow spiritually. And as we are his disciples, we are called to make disciples, to ensure that others grow in him as well. We know the word of God. It says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let's be people who are willing to be the laborers. Let's be the people who are willing to sow. Let's be the people who are willing to have the seeds of faith, the seeds of love and the seeds of truth. And let's be a people that trust God for the harvest. To use the farmer's analogy again, the farmer can't make the sunshine, the farmer can't make the rain rain. That's all done by God. But God uses the farmer to ensure that the ground is prepared, that the seed is sown, and then eventually the harvest will come. Now may God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and increase your harvest of righteousness. May you be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. We thank God for the harvest, the physical harvest, but we also thank him for the spiritual harvest to come. Let's trust him, let's love him, and let's tell others about him. Amen.